When I was a teenager, I remember my mum coming in one day very upset. I asked her, "What's wrong?" And she told me, "My friend Graham and his two boys, I've just heard they were killed." It was a horrible story. Graham Staines was a missionary in India. He'd given his life to caring for people with leprosy. One day he was visiting a village and he stayed overnight there with his two boys. They went to sleep in their jeep. And during the night, a mob, kind of stirred up by some Hindu extremists, surrounded the jeep and they set it alight. Graham and his two boys, who were 6 and 10, were burned to death. What was incredible was the next morning when his wife Gladys was interviewed, she told journalists, "I forgive those who are responsible for the death of my husband and my sons." Earlier this year, Australia was sickened by the horrible death of the three Abdullah children and their cousin mown down by a drunk driver. Perhaps we were more shocked, though, by the response of their mum, Leila. She told reporters, "I think in my heart, I forgive him. I'm not going to hate him. It's not what, because that's not who we are as Christians." Today, we are looking at the prayer, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." Of all the petitions in the Lord's Prayer, this is perhaps the most emotionally charged. In our culture, we are right to focus on victims. And the idea of forgiveness can seem outrageous. We don't want forgiveness, we want justice. Forgiveness seems immoral. Doesn't forgiveness excuse people for doing horrible things? Well, this morning I'm not going to answer every question, but I hope I can offer some wisdom from God's word as we grapple with the topic of forgiveness. The Staines and Abdullah stories make us feel the weight of forgiveness, and they raise questions for us. How could they do it? As a pastor, I've found again and again when forgiveness is raised in a sermon, someone afterwards comes up to talk to me, and what spills out is the story of a grievous wound. I know I'm meant to forgive, but I don't think I can. Anyone who thinks forgiveness is a simple matter has not experienced something serious to forgive, or at least not sat with those who have. And yet Gladys and Leela's forgiveness breathes life and hope in the wreckage of pain and death. One of the sessions I most enjoy when I do marriage preparation with couples is the session on giving and receiving forgiveness. I tell couples that this is the most powerful tool they have in their belt. In that session, we break down what forgiveness involves. It's not saying that everything is fine. On the contrary, forgiveness names what was done as wrong. It names how this has wounded me and how I feel as a result. In doing so, it lays down an expectation that the guilty party will not do the same thing again. In this sense, forgiveness is a form of judgment because it exposes and condemns the wrong. But of course, forgiveness does not stop there. Forgiveness says, "I'll let go of my own right to get even. I'll let go of my feelings of anger and bitterness and resentment toward you. I'll not demand that you have to work to get back into my good books. I will extend my hand for relationship." Of course, for relationships to work, forgiveness must be met with change from the guilty party. The old-fashioned Christian terms of confession and repentance still capture this the best. When I confess, I take responsibility for what I've done. I acknowledge that it was wrong. I acknowledge the hurt that I've caused, and I say, "I am sorry." In repentance, I commit to change, to not do what I've done again. And only when I've confessed and repented can I ask for forgiveness? And I can only ask. I can't demand forgiveness. Forgiveness is always a gift. I receive it by faith. And it doesn't work on the accountant's ledger, kind of weighing up my good and bad deeds. It's a gift when we forgive others, and it's a gift when God forgives us. Where the hand of forgiveness is met with the hand of repentance, then you have the embrace of reconciliation. Without either hand, the circle is not joined. The hand of forgiveness can be refused. The hand of repentance can be met with a cold heart. I always ask couples, in forgiveness, where does the pain of the wound go? Our desire for justice can all too easily spill over into revenge, where we want to revisit the pain done to us back on the person who's done the wrong, and with interest. When you forgive, though, you refuse to let evil have that second victory. Instead, you bear the pain. And you do so for the sake of the other person, to open the possibility for healing in the relationship. And this, of course, is the great challenge of forgiveness. The one who forgives bears the cost of that forgiveness. Where on earth can we get resources to bear that cost? Well, at this point, I tell couples that this is the secret power of the Christian faith, because at the center of the Christian faith stands the cross of Christ. In Christ's suffering and death, we see God Himself absorbing the pain of our wrongs against Him. In the cross, we see the cost of forgiveness. Like all forgiveness, the cross exposes the wrong that we've done and names us as guilty. Oh yes, in those honest moments, you know the things that you've done that you're ashamed of. But Jesus' diagnosis is that our actions spring from a deeper heart problem, a deeper heart disease. Jesus says, it's out of the heart that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. The essence of the cross is an exchange. Christ dies for us in our place that we might be forgiven. And that is because the essence of our problem is an exchange. We seek to take the place of God. It's the I in the center of sin. It's like the servant in Jesus' parable who didn't see the depth of the king's generosity and instead sought to play the tyrant over his fellow servant. We may not feel the seriousness of our sin, but the agony of the cross shows just how much pain that sin causes God. And Jesus willingly bore the cost, that cost of our forgiveness, because He loves us, He loves you, and would not be separated from you. Every time we pray, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, is an opportunity for us to receive God's forgiveness. When you've been deeply wounded, it can feel impossible to forgive. Does God only forgive us if we forgive others? No, we don't earn His forgiveness somehow by our forgiving others. In Romans, St. Paul writes, God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God's forgiveness comes before and is deeper and wider than all our halting attempts at forgiveness. His forgiveness is an infinite well that we can draw from when we're struggling to forgive. We pray this prayer because we need God's help to forgive. We're called to forgive, because God has forgiven us. And of ourselves, we don't have the spiritual resources to forgive others who wound us deeply. Forgiveness is always a gift. It's something we learn. Sometimes it can take time, even years, and that's okay. We need Christ to cradle us to his breast and to heal our wounded souls. Sometimes we need to ask God for the grace to forgive others, just as he's forgiven us. One of the books I've found helpful in thinking about forgiveness is this book, Free of Charge, by Miroslav Volf, Giving and Forgiving in a Culture Stripped of Grace. And this is what he writes. All our forgiving is inescapably incomplete. That's why it's so crucial to see our forgiving not simply as our own act, but as a participation in God's forgiving. Our forgiving is faulty, God's is faultless. Our forgiving is provisional, God's is final. We forgive tenuously and tentatively. God forgives unhesitatingly and definitively. Our forgiveness is only possible as an echo of God's. In the Lord's Prayer, we pray for God to meet our need. Forgiveness is my greatest need, and it's your greatest need too. Jesus' hands are outstretched in love to forgive you. The question is, how will you respond to that offer of forgiveness? We've seen the way to respond to forgiveness, confession and repentance, saying sorry for trying to be the king of your own life, and committing to follow Jesus as your King. Ask him to forgive you. And as you grasp his hand of forgiveness in faith, he will enfold you in his embrace of reconciliation. Amen.